What's the richest kind of air? A billionaire. And we've spoken of billionaires on this show before, most notably Warren Buffett. And remember what he says?
So by going with low-cost index funds, they've really probably got the best solution for themselves. You just stick with it for decades, you'll do fine.
And who's Warren Buffett's best billionaire friend? Bill Gates. Well, Bill Gates spoke at the Harvard commencement this past week, and it was a very good speech. I'll have a link to that, to the video of that speech on the website. And the Wall Street Journal had a little story about the writing of that speech. It said Bill Gates went to visit Condoleezza Rice at the State Department, and there he saw a framed copy of the Marshall speech. He had read it before, but Mr. Gates said it was while staring at the State Department copy that he noticed Mr. Marshall had told his Harvard audience how the, quote, enormous complexity, unquote, of the problems facing post-war Europe made it, quote, exceedingly difficult for the man in the street to reach a clear appraisement of the situation. The word complexity struck him, Mr. Gates said, because he had been talking with his friend, the billionaire investor Warren Buffett, about the complexity of certain things in society, the tax system and the federal budget, for instance, how it hinders people from fully grasping them and ultimately impedes change. In spreading the word about the inequalities and what to do about them, Mr. Gates found that time and again among friends and in groups, he found people who wanted to get more involved helping, but didn't understand how to do something about a complicated disease or poverty in distant lands. Mr. Gates suggested four steps. First of all, determine a goal. Number two, find the, quote, highest leverage approach. Number three, discover the ideal technology for that approach. And finally, in the meantime, make the smartest application of the technology you already have. On this show, I'll talk about complexity in investing. Let's apply Bill Gates' four-step formula to that. First of all, determine a goal. Well, for many, the goal is financial freedom. What is the highest leverage approach? I'd like to reinterpret that to mean the approach that gives you the biggest return for the least amount of risk. That's the highest leverage approach. What is the ideal technology for that approach? Well, the ideal technology is to own all stocks across capitalism. What's the smartest application of the technology we already have? I believe it's the Dimensional Fund Advisors Index Funds, available through investment advisors like Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. You can also achieve the similar sort of thing using Vanguard Funds or other companies' index funds. I think taking steps like that to simplify your life, it's on the order of a spiritual release. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer, and this is The Mad Money Machine, Show 66, the second week of June. I'll have a link to the transcript also of Bill Gates' Harvard commencement speech. He talks about how he is using his foundation to help solve inequities in the world. He says, "We began our work in the same way anyone here would begin it. We asked, how could the world let these children die, the millions of children? The answer is simple and harsh. The market did not reward saving the lives of these children, and government did not subsidize it. So the children died because their mothers and fathers had no power in the market and no voice in the system. But you and I have both. We can make market forces work better for the poor if we develop a more creative capitalism. If we can stretch the reach of market forces so that more people can make a profit, or at least make a living, serving people who are suffering from the worst inequalities. We can also press governments around the world to spend taxpayer money in ways that better reflect the values of the people who pay the taxes. If we can find approaches that meet the needs of the poor in ways that generate profits for business and votes for the politicians, we will have found a sustainable way to reduce inequity in the world. This task is open-ended. It can never be finished. but a conscious effort to answer this challenge will change the world. And that ends the quote that I have for you from Bill Gates in that speech. And I thought that was a fantastic way to look at solving the problem. The way to define the goal, to find the highest lever, and to find the technologies to apply to solving the problem. What a great way to think about solving the problem, too, on a more macro level, finding market forces to help solve this economic problem. Last show, we talked about simplicity in investing. This show, we'll talk about complexity in investing. How do we make something so simple much more complicated than it needs to be? Well, let's go out and pick individual stocks, why don't we? Let's study the annual reports of companies that we don't know anything about. Let's listen to conference calls that we've never heard anything about. Let's listen to the guys on TV or read a magazine article and buy the stocks they recommend. That's going to make your life pretty complicated. Why just be satisfied with the returns that you can get from the market? Why not get above market returns? Seeking alpha, they call it. Alpha is defined as the difference between market return and the return that you get above market returns, I guess. For everyone that makes some alpha, there's going to be someone that loses some alpha. It's a zero-sum game. So on average, everybody that seeks alpha is going to lose to the market. By definition, here's how it works. If half the people make 1% more than the market and the other half make less than lose 1% to the market, well, don't forget about the fees that they are eating up trying to seek that additional alpha, which weighs everything down. Therefore, on average, everyone that is seeking to beat the market loses to the market because of the fees. Why not invest in a hedge fund? Talk about fees. Do you know what the fees of getting in a hedge fund are? 2% plus 20% of your profits. There was an article in Barron's Magazine, June 11th, talked about this fancy apartment building, condo that went up in Manhattan. Talked about all these famous celebrities that have condos in there. NASCAR star Jeff Gordon, actor Denzel Washington, singer Sting, NBC sportscaster Bob Costas. They all have condos, but who has the most lavish condo in this building? An 8-bedroom, 11-bathroom penthouse covering an entire floor? Was it one of these actors, one of these famous people? Mm-mm, no. This penthouse sold for $45 million to Dan Loeb, which Barron's calls a brash and very successful hedge fund manager. Now you know how to make money in hedge funds. Run one. $45 million for an 8-bedroom penthouse covering an entire floor. I want to be a hedge fund manager. Let's play a round of the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, I'll give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Men Machino show number 66 is Paul Merriman. Paul Merriman is founder and president of Merriman Capital Management and publisher and editor of the monthly newsletter FundAdvice.com and the online educational site of the same name. Paul hosts Sound Investing, a weekly radio broadcast and podcast which provides clear and unbiased investment information and other financial issues. Well, Paul Merriman is a delight to listen to in his podcast. I do recommend that you go into iTunes and find the Sound Investing podcast. I'll have a link to it in the show notes of my show. I listen to it every week. I look forward to listening to it. I listen to it as soon as it comes out. As far as checking out the competition, I definitely give it an 8 out of 10. 8.5 even. I think the only thing they could do a little bit to better to give it a full 10 is to appeal to a younger demographic. I understand perfectly what their demographic is, and I understand what they're doing there, and I think it's a great service to radio and podcast listeners, and I definitely think you should check it out. They have a number of good interviews on most shows. They'll talk about topical information that they pull out of the headlines. Paul Merriman, I've talked about Don McDonald before, and the host Tom Koch make it a wonderful show to listen to 46 minutes a week. What would he recommend? Virtually the same thing that I've been talking about and Index Funds Advisors talks about. A portfolio of a diversified index funds across the globe. In fact, if you go to fundadvice.com, you'll see in there some of their recommended portfolios. Well, that's the guru for show 66, Paul Merriman.
You're listening to the Man
Money Machine.
Let's take a look at the status of the Portfolio Smackdown. Now, if you're a first-time listener, what we have going on here is at the beginning of the year, I asked about 20 volunteers to take a pretend $100,000 and invest it in stocks according to Jim Cramer's recommendations and his influence. And we would compare the average of their performance against an index fund portfolio, specifically the Index Fund Advisor's Index Folio 100, which is their most risky portfolio that they publish on their website. And as of last Friday, which was June the 8th, we have the average of all of the stock pickers up 3.66%, Index Folio 100 up 8.81%. That is a 5% difference between the average. However, we have a couple of people that have moved up ahead of the Index Folio 100 in their individual performance. Alan Pendleton, of course, has been the leader for many weeks now. He's at 16.85%, 16.84. Mark has moved up to 9.38%, and Cheapo is now 9.32%. So keep going, traders, and good luck to you. The MadMoneyMachine.com entry in there. What I did, of course, is I tried to pick the stocks that Jim had at some time mentioned that he owns for his ActionAlertsPlus.com charity portfolio. And an equal weighting of those stocks that he had mentioned in there is up 5.14% for the year. So that's 3.5% less than the Index Folio 100. You can check the results for yourself at MadMoneyMachine.com and hit the Portfolios tab. At the top there, you can see a graph over time of how these portfolios have performed so far this year. And as I mentioned on the last show, I'll be running at the end of June, probably the first week of July, is the results of the lazy portfolios and how they've done for the first half of the year. Well, I have talked on several occasions, many, many times, about the book, the big book that you need if you're a Cramerholics Anonymous. And that book is Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors. And there's a link to it on my website that takes you right directly to Amazon to buy it. But you know what happens now when you go to Amazon to buy it? It says currently unavailable. There apparently has been a run on this book. I am told that they will have more books in early July timeframe. But in the meantime, run to your local bookstore and tell them to order a copy. Let's create a grassroots effort to get this book into more bookstores where it needs to be seen. This is a beautiful book, and it should be sitting right in the front door so people can flip through this, see the great graphs and pictures, and learn what it means to really invest the right way. It's time for this week's Tool in the Crib. Well, I know we all have a lot of learning to do, and one place to learn more about investing is at Morningstar's online classroom, morningstar.com/cover/classroom.html, or a link to it in the show notes of this show. They have a number of online courses there. I don't believe they cost any money. I think you do need to register to get into these courses, but they have courses that they call portfolio course levels 100, 200, 300, 400, and 500. And example titles from the 100 series are Steps to a Suitable Portfolio, How Much Risk Can You Tolerate, Determining Your Asset Mix, Core Versus Non-Core. They talk about a simple portfolio there, and there are more. In the 200 level, there are talked about 401k plans, individual retirement accounts, investing in your company's stock. In the 300 level, they talk about how to monitor your portfolio, when to sell an investment, getting more aggressive, getting more conservative. The 400 level, it gets crazy with complexity, talking about investing in IPOs, gold's ride and role in a portfolio, real estate's role in a portfolio, futures and options, short selling, and income alternatives for retirees and variable annuities. Then the 500 level, they talk about a number of theories, efficient market theory, modern portfolio theory. Asset allocation is, quote, it, can foreign stocks really diversify a portfolio, and so forth. Well, just like any classroom that you might attend, you need to be critical of what the teacher is trying to teach you. The same holds for the Morningstar classroom. But it is worth a look, and that is this week's Tool in the Crib, the Morningstar Investment Classroom. On my website, you'll notice at the bottom right, as you scroll down, you will see in there now my Nike Plus iPod running statistics get updated in real time, basically. As soon as my run is over, at least. I plug my iPod back into iTunes. The statistics get uploaded to Nike, and my webpage pulls it from the Nike site. And so you can follow along with me. You can run along with me as I try to get a little bit of exercise. Now run, run, baby. Run, run, run to set you free. Run, 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 baby. Run, 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 baby, run. Well, I lost my active trader status at my brokerage firm. Yeah, I have this software, this active trader software that you load onto your computer, and it gave me the ability to have streaming quotes. The stocks, the prices of the stocks would get updated in real time, instantaneously. You would see the little numbers change to yellow as they were being updated and changing, and then, of course, they'd be either red if they're negative for the day or green if they're positive for the day. All these lights flashing and charts going and moving in real time. Well, suddenly, just the other day, last week, I opened up this software and I look and see it's no more streaming. It's 2-minute delay now. Every 2 minutes it updates these quotes. I now have to live like a commoner when it comes to looking at my stocks, I guess. And of course, the good news is they don't consider me to be an active trader anymore. Oh, joy. Got a comment out of the MadMoneyMachine.com website from Bo Dot Dot. He says, Paul is right on the money. Index, index, index. I'm currently involved in Paul's Portfolio Smackdown Challenge, where I'm using various combinations of individual Jim Cramer touted stocks to outperform Paul's IFA-sponsored index fund. To be honest, the contest is playing out much like fantasy football. I get a game plan, draft a team, which is a group of Cramer All-Pro stocks, mix in players from the waiver wire, which is Cramer's buy-buy-buy momentum stocks, release injured players, stocks where Cramer changes his thinking, and hope for the best. Some weeks I do well. Other weeks I'm tempted to scrap my entire team or portfolio. Meanwhile, Paul's index fund keeps chugging along with no maintenance whatsoever. It goes up, it goes down, but since the market trend is decidedly up in 2007, his index decidedly reflects that. And he goes on to say, that's the beauty of indexing. You don't over or underperform the market, you get the market. And long term, that's where the money is made. Excellent post, Bo Dot Dot. Thank you so much. So I talked about the compact fluorescent lights that I went out to Walmart and spent $50 or so on. I actually went to Costco and bought another whole pack, several packs of these compact fluorescent lights in a fit of greenness. My office has three lights in the ceiling, three floodlights shining down on a bookcase from the ceiling. One of the bulbs I bought happened to fit into that floodlight receptacle, so I changed out one of the incandescent bulbs with one of these compact fluorescent light bulbs and turned it on. Went away for a little while, came back into the office with the lights still on, and I looked up, and around one of the lights were these bugs, gnats, flying around one particular light. Which light do you think it was? Well, it was the compact fluorescent light. I guess, you know, the frequency of that light is more along the ultraviolet spectrum, I assume, which attracts more bugs, unfortunately. You can get some bug lights if you're using these outdoors, you know, the yellow lights. And speaking of bug lights, I did go to Costco and I bought a bug zapper. Always been fascinated by these things. It glows purple when you plug it in at night. And I've got it hanging, in a tree about 25 feet away from the deck out back so that it doesn't actually attract the bugs to the deck. And the first morning after I plugged it in that night, went out and looked at it, and it was completely full. No vacancy. Bugs littering this entire electrical cage in there. So I got a leaf blower, and I used the leaf blower then to blow them out. And just about every morning, I have to go out and blow all the bugs out of this bug zapper thing. And it seems to be clearing up the bugs in the backyard. I wonder what the birds think about all that. I mentioned in my blog, madmoneymachine.com, that there's an interesting discussion going on at diehards.org/forum. The post was entitled, Has Anyone Retired in Their 40s or Aspires To? And in there, lots of folks have answered in the affirmative. And some have given great tips on making it work, both financially and psychologically. Some of the recurring themes are, live below your means. Use a 3% or 4% safe withdrawal rate and find something interesting to do. One of the other recurring themes seem to be, and don't have children. John Bogle gave a commencement address to the MBA graduates of the McDonough School of Business on May 18th. He starts the address this way. Here's how I recall the wonderful story that sets the theme for my remarks today. At a party given by a billionaire on Shelter Island, the late Kurt Vonnegut informs his pal, the author Joseph Heller, that their host, a hedge fund manager, had made more money in a single day than Heller had earned from his wildly popular novel, Catch-22, over its whole history. Heller responds, Yes, but I have something he will never have. Enough. Bogle continues, Enough. I was stunned by its simple eloquence, to say nothing of its relevance to some of the vital issues arising in American society today. Many of them revolve around money, Yes, money. Increasingly, in our bottom line society, the great god of prestige, the great measure of the man and woman, is money. So this morning, I have the temerity to ask you soon-to-be-minted MBA graduates, most of whom will enter the world of commerce, to consider with me the role of enough in business and in entrepreneurship in our society. Enough in the dominant role of the financial system in our economy, and enough in the values you will bring to the fields you choose for your careers. I'll have a link to that speech. Later in the speech, he says, we're moving, or so it seems, to a world where we're no longer making anything in this country. We're merely trading pieces of paper, swapping stocks and bonds back and forth with one another, and paying our financial croupiers a veritable fortune. We're also adding even more costs by creating ever more complex financial derivatives in which huge and unfathomable risks are being built into our financial system. When enterprise becomes a mere bubble on a whirlpool of speculation, as the great British economist John Maynard Keynes warned us 70 years ago, the consequences may be dire. When the capital development of a country becomes a byproduct of the activities of a casino, the job of capitalism is likely to be ill done. He says in there that, yes, the more that our financial system takes, the less our investors make. Yet the financial field is where the money is made in modern-day America, the breeding ground for the wealthiest of our citizens. If you made less than $140 million last year, you didn't make enough to rank among the 25 highest-paid hedge fund managers. When we add up all those hedge fund fees and all those mutual fund management fees and operating expenses, all those commissions to brokerage firms and fees to financial advisors, investment banking and legal fees for all those mergers and IPOs, and the enormous marketing and advertising expenses entailed in the distribution of financial products, we're talking about some $500 billion per year. That sum extracted from whatever returns the stock and bond markets are generous enough to deliver to investors is surely enough, if you will, to seriously undermine the odds in favor of success for our citizens who are accumulating savings for retirement. Yet the fact is that the finance sector has become by far our nation's largest generator of corporate profits, larger even than the combined profits of our huge energy and healthcare sectors, and almost three times as much as either manufacturing or information technology. 25 years ago, financials accounted for only about 6% of the earnings of the 500 giant corporations that compose the S&P 500. 10 years ago, the financial sector share had risen to 20%, and last year, the financial sector profits had soared to an all-time high of 27%. If we add the earnings of financial affiliates of our giant manufacturers, like General Electric Capital, for example, or the auto financing arms of General Motors and Ford to this total, financial earnings now likely exceed 33% of the earnings of the S&P 500. While that share may or may not be enough, it seems likely to continue to grow, at least for a while. Well, I like what he said about how we're not making anything anymore. We're just trading stuff around and paying somebody to make the trades. They're creating ever more and more complex financial derivatives, in which huge and unfathomable risks are being built into our financial system. I think the lesson is, where possible, steal yourself away from complexity. Make it simple. Make it so that we understand what's going on with our financial investments. The more complexity there is, the better chance that the guy on the other side of the table has the odds in his favor. One of the ways that you can add complexity to your financial life is by trying to select actively managed mutual funds to try to get a better return than everybody else. You know, you can pick up all kinds of publications that tell you the previous year's winners, the previous 3 years, the previous 5 year winners of mutual funds. Even Consumer Reports has from time to time rated mutual funds on their past performance. And naturally, what happens is you buy into one of these hot-performing funds, And that was the end of it, right then and there. It doesn't perform that well going into the future. The best quote I've ever heard, I think, is market returns are superior returns. You're investing in capitalism, and what a great investment that is. Now, if you were to try to put together a portfolio of actively managed mutual funds that cover the globe, that cover all the various capitalizations and things, the problem you could run into there is one of the mutual funds might over time change what they're investing in. You thought that you were investing in a small cap value fund with the active manager picking the small cap value stocks. But over time, you find out that the stocks that they're holding on to are now mid-cap or even large-cap stocks. No more are you investing in the asset class you thought you were getting into. Buying into an index fund is the surest way to avoid style drift. Doesn't hurt me. You want to feel how it feels. You want to know that it doesn't hurt. One of the great ways to take complexity out of your investment life is to hire a professional to help you. I recommend that you take a look at Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. They've got a whole bunch of tools out there that help you understand investing, and you can click on the Benchmark Your Portfolio and take the Risk Capacity Survey. What does taking the Risk Capacity Survey do for you? It asks you several questions about your financial situation, about your financial knowledge, and helps guide you into a portfolio that matches your risk capacity. At the end of the survey, it'll ask you for your email address. Put in your correct email address there. Let them contact you. Let them help you eliminate the cobwebs of complexity from your financial life.
Deep the bullet lies, unaware that I'm tearing you asunder. There's a thunder in our hearts, baby. So much hate for the ones we love. Tell me we both matter, don't we? You.
I thank you so much for downloading this show and listening to it, making me part of your day. This is Paul Douglas Boyer, saying it takes money to make money, and it takes eliminating complexity to make a well-oiled mad money machine. I'll see you next week. And don't forget, in the meantime, to visit our sponsor at IFA.com. That stands for Index Funds Advisors. You can read snippets of that book out there, the Index Funds, the 12-Step Program for Active Investors. Don't forget to take that risk capacity survey. Definitely encourage you to do that. A number of articles out there talking about the benefits of index funds. And look at their portfolios and how well they've done over time using the Benchmark Your Portfolio tool.